I'm here in the house of the haunted house in the middle of nowhere. While my mum's away, I've managed to get back in and avoid the cat feeder who caught me the first time. And I'm here on my own with a bunch of crazy animals. We've got about 8 fucking cats in this secluded house in the middle of nowhere in Saddleworth. It's kind of a big house with a lot of stuff. It's better than a one bedroom flat. I hope my mum stays away forever so I can just fucking live here, because it's nice and peaceful and it's away from everything. Teen, I just got through with the Triple H story. But seeing as I've had a very hard week with that guy robbing me, and I saw him the other day, I went to fucking hit him. The other day, he was at the bus station. I booted the fucking door as the door closed. And broke my right side, or I broke my right side of my left side of my right foot. It broke. Limping around, swollen up and everything. I punched him, I managed to get a punch on him, and then he got on the bus. And then as the door, shutters were closing, my foot just bang right on the fucking door, at the side of the door. My big fucking toe. And it's fucking hurt like a motherfucker, but didn't hurt at first because I was in a fucking rage. Managed to whip him and he just ran away like a bitch. So I'm thinking, you fucking bitch. You look at yourself every morning and know that you're a bitch for running away from me. I got a good shot in him anyway. This fucking bitch was in the way, so I managed to get a fucking right hook on his shoulder. I think I bruised him up doing that. And then if I would have kicked him with that kick, he would have fucking gone straight through the fucking bus. Straight through the fucking window of the driver. But my foot broke, so I was hurting my foot the other day, and that doctor's thing and everything. Walking around with a broken foot. Because I know I broke the left side of my right foot, but it's okay. You know, it's no excuse, you walk on. Just had been out and been seeing no one. It's just me and animals, and that's how I like it. I've been in peaceful Saddleworth and it is all good. Even though I have got a broken right foot. Well, the left side of it is definitely broken. Bones and my big toe is broken. I can tell you that for now. Yeah, so it's been zip-zocking about through fields, shooting my Colt 47 and doing work on my phone. It's peaceful, you're just on a footpath and you're on your tablet and there's internet on it and you can do work and you don't have to look the other way or look that way. No one's watching you, you just get the odd jogger coming past and you're on your phone doing whatever, you just chilled out, you know, like you're in at home. So I was waiting for the woman to leave. Now I'm in a house full of animals. Well, one dog, and that's her, she and all the cats against her. What can I say? The cat Lucy attacks her, she sometimes, and Sophie does to protect her kittens, because there's loads of fucking cats because they just had kittens. But at the end of the day, she comes in straight away and eats all the fucking cat food. She's very obnoxious when it comes to that shit. She'll just come in, eat all the cat food in front of the cats. The cats will just stand there like, and she'll be like, what the fuck are you going to do? Not so you hear Hershey growl, because she never really is a vicious type of dog. But if you get in near her food, and she told the cats, this is my fucking food and I'm having your food, I don't give a fuck. So she had the cat food upstairs and downstairs in front of the cats. So that's the way Hershey gets them back. But if Hershey steps in line with this other cat called Lucy, she will attack and Hershey will just be run away. And obviously, I'm up the stairs. It takes a lot of time to get up the stairs sometimes. There's like three fucking cats on the stairs and Hershey's at the bottom of the fucking stairs. And I want to go into the room, the master bedroom, which has got a nice double bed in it. Just watched the police story, Lockdown film. Took me half an hour to watch it because Hershey was just pantering and going, like that. And I said, come upstairs. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. I couldn't stand the noise. The noise was going on for half an hour. She would not go past the cats, so I had to carry her past the cats. And it's been like that. That's the only thing. But she gets along with one cat called Alice, which they actually bond together. And it's all peaceful now. There's about three cats in this room and Hershey's sleeping. She's ate all the dog food today and all the cat food and a lot of my food as well. So you've been very spoilt today like you usually are, Hershey. Yes, you have. So I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of cats and dogs. Some cats are awake, just looking at Hershey while she's sleeping. And that's the story of tonight. You know, I found these stamps in a skip the other day. And the Polish ones. I checked it out on eBay. And I cleaned them out a bit. And they're worth over £500. I checked it out. And it's during World War II. 1939. That's. Checked it out. The stamp. I cleaned it out. And checked out on eBay and people are selling it for 700, 800 quid. So I've put it up for 500 quid. And I also found these T-Rex motorbike boots. And this motorbike, proper biker jacket. M-Tex jacket as well, which I cleaned out. I wonder what you could find in a fucking skip. Once my mate found some gold. A golden fucking necklace. And I was, I think I was fucked out of my head at the time. But he found it. You should give me a fucking cut. Can remember, as well as, not too recently, because I've given up weed and that. And there's a story, which shouldn't really be telling, but we went down to this motorway bridge. Me and this little cunt that I don't speak to anymore, who used to be cool but now he smokes crack, so fuck him. Basically, he said he wouldn't take your dog for a walk at night, 12 o'clock at night. I was like, yeah, I'm up for that. So we'll walk about 2 miles, get out to fucking countryside hills where motorway is, under the motorway bridge. There's fucking bin bags full of weed. And basically there's people coming past, so we have to be low key. Hershey was with me and him. We should go in this field, and then basically a lot of them are like twigs and seeds, but there's loads of buds in it. So we're fucking there for about half an hour picking all the fucking buds and everything. We must have got at least, we did it for like 2 days, at least 40 ounce. I didn't want an ounce to do that, I just wanted money for it. Basically because I had to carry it back in my bag. But I just went out for a fucking walk. I wasn't really bothered because weed don't bother me anymore. But then I was crumbling it down for him and all that shit and keeping it in my motherfucking house. So now I'm thinking, We got like 40 ounce of motherfucking weed, so he fucking owes me. Really? Now I'm thinking about it, if I see him, he fucking owes me. If he's made any money off it, which he probably fucking has. Because they were fucking buds, these were buds. Now I'm carrying it in my bag, and if I got caught, the smell of that fucking weed, you could smell it from a fucking mile away. If I got caught, then I would have took the shit. And I don't want anything to do with it. I just thought it'd be an exciting night, going out on a midnight walk near a motorway bridge and finding all that weed. It was kind of crazy. It was, they were just left there in bin bags. But as well as doing that, I had to fucking, because a lot of it we chucked in. We did remove most of the stems and seeds to get all the buds in, but obviously it weren't perfect. We had to grind it down, so he asked me to do me a favour and grind it down. So I was there fucking all day grinding the fucking weed down, taking out all the fucking seeds, all the dry leaves, all the stems, so it was just pure fucking bud. But I think it was cheese. And then I said, if I'm doing that, then I want fucking money for that. So he gave me 40 fucking quid. Really, what's 40 ounce worth though? If you sold that, I've helped him do it. Because that should be 50-50. So next time I see him, if he has sold that amount, because I know it's that amount, with fucking loads, then I want half of that cut. Oh, Alice has just walked over Hershey. Hershey didn't do anything. I think you're very tired, aren't you, Hershey? As you said, she gets along with a certain cat. No, certain cat's got character. I prefer dogs to cats, because dogs bond with you more, but don't mind cats either. Like any animal. But dogs are obviously my favourite, because they bond with you. They're always there. They show their emotions, but this cat's got quite a good character to it. It's always hanging around, jumping around, trying to get attention as well. So I like this particular cat. There's about fucking 9 of them in the house. So I am in the middle of nowhere, and this is going to be hopefully for a week. I can zip zack and freak creep into the house and just take a fucking break from my fucking hectic life back at motherfucking home. That's what I need to do. Obviously, this is a one-man podcast at the moment. Nobody's on this podcast but me. Sorry, but I'm trying to get some guests on it, but sometimes it's hard because you don't want to talk. So you just have to listen to me. Me talk to me. I can talk to myself, I can pretend to be different characters. Whatever you need, just send me the emails, because it's the best podcast, it's the future podcast, the SFS podcast. And don't be shy to subscribe to the YouTube, because I'm doing a series on Taxi Trevor. It's a born to kill thing, as I play a taxi driver, and I am playing basically a serial killer. I try and avoid the cops. Basically, I get into a taxi, get the taxi driver to take me out of town somewhere secluded, and they get out of the taxi, kill the taxi driver, and then pick up people and drive them to secluded places, either back alleyways in the city or deep into the countryside, and kill them. It can get pretty brutal, as I mutilated a lot of people with machetes and hammers, and over like 1,000 times. Well, I gotta tell you as well, another promotion, Charles Manson album's out. The album of this week, the album of this month, The big news in music, in my opinion, Charles Manson's album has finally come. I think Charles Manson is a good singer, and you would have made it as a singer. You know, his views were quite off, but some of them, I believe him. I don't believe in what he did, killing people, but the other side of his views about freedom from humanity, the fact of the institution, I believe in, but I don't believe in his sick, sadistic crap that he did. But he's a musician, he's talented, and you know, he's a remarkable person. You can't get more gangster rap than that, really. He says fuck it and everything on his album. This is the 60s. He says fuck it and fuck the cops and oh, fuck the system and all that shit. And talks about Helter Skelter, I'm gonna kill my garbage dump, my garbage dump. It's the real deal, man. This is the realest you're talking about the realest musician who does it. If you want to put him in a rap category, then Charles Manson is the realest, because he actually has done it. He's one of the most infamous criminals of all time. And here you are listening to his music, which is not bad. He did music with the Beach Boys, and you know, it was probably just as good as the Beach Boys. He got rejected. I don't know why I rejected him. It's like people rejecting me, even though I recorded my music on, not even in a studio, with no guitar, no fancy, nothing. Just an instrumental in the background, like I said. I don't give a fuck what you say, man. That Downhill Backup album is a fucking classic album. You just listen to the words, listen to the songs. You cannot say that Relapse and Rehabilitated ain't a good song. If you want to go deep, it's so much better than that fucking Eminem's Not Afraid. Because I'm going through that shit, and I'm not rich. I'm going through that shit, and it's a lot deeper than any fucking other drug addict, rich drug addict talking about the drug problems on tape. Much deeper than Amy Winehouse, I don't give a fuck. That Relapse Rehabilitated song is. That Weirdo song is more crazier than other songs that I put out, are more crazier than any other fucking rapper has ever rapped about. And none of it is talking about I'm a gangster, I'm this, I'm that, I get bitches, I get hoes, I drive nice cars. You never hear that in my lyrics. You either hear me speaking about my struggle with drugs and abandonment and neglection and all my true fucking to life pain. And I've suffered a lot of fucking true to life fucking pain since I was a little fucking kid. I'm telling you that shit for now. It's no joke. I have fucking suffered mentally more than fucking a lot of people. The point is, mental suffering is a lot worse than physical suffering. And I don't want to get into shit like that, but you know, that's the way it is. And people need to start respecting me for that. And because you need to respect my music, because at the end of the day, the style is unknown. It's nothing like anyone's. I just want money. I think I should be making money off it. That's all I've got to say about that. And there's plenty of other rappers in Manchester that have made big successes over the years and lived the real fucking life. And I'm telling you that every city has got its dark side. But my uncle back in the day, my cousin back in the day, the fucking clubs in Manchester, you could not go to Manchester in the 90s. I was only a kid, but you could not go to Manchester. Every club was controlled by a Salford or Moss Side lad. Moss Side, Moss Siders, Cheetah Mill, more ciders than drugs over the fucking chain, shootings all the time. Everybody, crooked bouncer that was top guy in a gang, doing all sorts of things. My uncle was there at the time, dealt with some dodgy people, really, really dodgy people, who bring in cocaine from Colombia, get so many, do millions of pounds of deals of ecstasy from Holland, and get loads of weed down and smuggle it in onions from Spain. And like clubs like the Hacienda and clubs in Canal Street, Manchester City Centre was a war zone. Police wouldn't come through, and police wouldn't come through Salford, none of them areas. And when I lived there at the time, none of them would come through. I remember at 10, I went to foster care for a bit in Longside, and Longside were having a gang war with the Moss Siders, and that war was out of control. People were getting shot every night. It was usually black gangs, but Salford is black and white gangs. But it happens now. All the gangs control the bouncers, control all the security at the bar, overcharge you, extort you. Same shit that happens in New York happens in Manchester. Just that Manchester happens to be the worst place in Britain for all that shit. Even though every city's got its bad side, Manchester is infamous for its corruption, and especially the clubs, the bouncers that run the clubs and extort the clubs. And back in the days with all the drugs and all the shootings, that's why I called it Gunchester. Well, every city's got its bad part, and it's not good. I'd rather live in the countryside. I've lived in the countryside and I've lived in a bad area as well. And that's all I've got to say about that. But I never participated in any of that shit. But one night, I was 10, I was walking to a shop. These black guys driving a fucking Nissan. Blacked out windows, and one of them just pulled over and said, "Get in." And I'm like, fucking shitting myself. I'm just a little kid. I'm like, are these guys kidnapping me? Cause I knew the area was pretty dodgy, because the foster parent Linda used to tell me, you know, the violence was happening around here. And shootings, other older people tell us shootings happen around here. I wasn't really obliged to it, I was just more into my wrestling. But long story short, I was on Stockport Road, and this blacked out Nissan comes. This black guy is like, get in. And I'm like, what, why? And then it's just get in. And I think I'm being kidnapped, because he got me in the car and he said, "Where's the house? Where do you live?" And I said, "Oh, I didn't want to say it first," and just asked me, "Where you live, man? Where you live, man?" Like that, he said, "Where you live? Where you live, blood? Where you live, blood?" Like that to me. I was like, "I'm a young kid." I was like, "Just live down there. What are you taking me?" And then one of them explained, "I may be doing you a favour, because there's a fucking lot of shootings going on at night. A kid like you should not be walking around here on your own at night. So doing you a favour." And basically he took me back to the foster home, basically. He said, and I was shocked. I was like, bloody hell. He said, "We're looking after you, mate, because if we didn't pick you up, then you might have been caught in a crossfire. So we basically saved your life. Without having no kids getting shot." I think they were gang members. Fighting with the Moss Siders, I think. And obviously, during all that wars, people were getting shot in the crossfire and stuff like that. So that's why they probably did that, because they didn't want to see another kid get shot in the crossfire. But I didn't know that. I thought I was getting kidnapped. But when they said, "Where's your house?" and then started driving down the road where the house is, "Look, man, don't be out here. Don't be walking out here on your own at that time of night." I had some money, which I stole from a purse in the house, £3, so I wanted to go out to get some chocolate bars, and the newsagents were still open. So I just walked to the shop, but it was very late at night and very dangerous, so you cannot be walking around here at this time of night. Man, we're doing you a big favour here, man. I know you're scared, because I was so fucking scared out of my mind. But then that's what they told me. They told me, that's okay. Okay, we're saving you, man. And they said, look after yourself. I don't want to see you walking around here at night on your own. Really, do not be doing this again. Not at this time. There's a lot of trouble around here. So they saw me back to the door. One of them got out and saw that I got in. So basically they saved me. I thought they were going to kidnap me, but they saved me. And that's how it goes in the place of foes and hoes. And Alice is, oh, Alice is, oh no, she's on the microwave. I'm looking into her fucking shirt. Oh, I'm going to have to fucking go now. Fucking youngest coming off.